AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Capital One.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. He was one of the prosecutors in one of the most notorious trials in history, one of the youngest and the last one alive until now.
Ben Ferrance was just 27 when he gave the opening arguments at Nuremberg Trial No. 9.
The case we present is a plea of humanity to law.
The accused, 22 commanders of secret SS units whose job was to follow the German army as it invaded the Soviet Union, then kill communists, gypsies, and especially Jews. The defendants all pleaded not guilty.
Defense faces were blank all the time.
All were convicted, four were hanged, and Ben Ferrance spent the rest of his life trying to prevent other genocides around the world, or at least to hold people accountable. Matt Piper, CBS News.
Higher courts are going to have to sort it out. The next major abortion court case involving completely opposite rulings over a widely used abortion pill. A Trump-appointed federal judge in Texas has effectively revoked its two-decade-old medical authorization by the Food and Drug Administration. Jonathan Keller of the California Family Council.
We are encouraged that the federal judiciary is finally taking a look at the approval of mifepristone. And really holding the FDA to account for cutting corners and failing to protect women and children with the approval of the drug originally.
Minutes after the Texas ruling, another federal judge in Washington state ruled the FDA could not make it illegal, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This right-wing MAGA judge, in his zeal to impose his own views on the American people, has suspended this long-time FDA-approved medication over the agency and drug manufacturers' opinion.
At the Vatican, Easter Vigil Mass, Holy Saturday, led by Pope Francis, a day after he skipped a traditional procession at the Colosseum because of cold weather. But from the Middle East and the Holy Land, word of more violence, the Israeli military reporting three rockets launched from Syria into Israel. No reports of damage or casualties. In the Far East, China promises more reprisals against Taiwan after that meeting between the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and the island's president, saying the U.S. was on a wrong and dangerous road. Congressman Michael McCaul's chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
Taiwan's strength, openness, and resiliency is the envy of communist China.
In sports, play was stopped at the Masters because of nasty weather. It was a steady rain that got only heavier and heavier after the third round began. That was shortly before lunchtime from two tees. This is CBS News.
One of the best savings rates in America is another reason banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank. Capital One N.A.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Civic Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day $1 million advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us. Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Alvin Bragg Day, Alvin Bragg Hour. It's all Alvin Bragg. Welcome back, Don.
Great, are you kidding me, man? Just even saying it is kind of surreal. Happy Alvin Bragg Day to you, man.
Happy arraignment of Defendant Trump Day. The perp. Can't wait to get used to seeing that.
Yeah,
Defendant Trump.
We got to come up with some new nicknames for the man now.
It will be a numerical one. It'll be his
045047.
Isn't it individual 71543-23, at least according to the statement of facts? That's the indictment number.
Okay.
My bad.
Yes, yeah. Well, I mean, that'll stick with them.
Don, we're going to go over the statement of facts in just a bit.
Just the facts, man.
A deep read in case you're driving home and you don't have the opportunity because you're rushing off to go vote in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Or, you know, you just got a life. Maybe you got Brewer tickets tonight. 6:40, first pitch.
Ooh, vote first.
Vote first. Stick around. More Devils. We'll get to the statement of facts. But, Tom, I watched Alvin Bragg. Now, I got to tell you, it's the first time I personally have seen him speak at length in public. You know, you see sound bites. But I'm not from there. I don't see this man speak publicly. Today, I did. And I took a few notes, and I think we've got a few sound bites for our audience as well. Ebone, bring in the sound. We're going to share it with you, our fair audience. Here he is, the Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, talking about the charges against Defendant Trump.
Earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump was arraigned on a New York Supreme Court indictment, returned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree.
Oh, 30.
34. 34. And you know what?
Felonies.
What I noticed, not former President Donald Trump, not President Donald Trump, just perpetrator.
Defendant Trump.
Donald Trump.
More from Alvin Bragg, Manhattan DA. He has a title. It's Alvin Bragg Day up here. Explaining the charges. Cut two.
Under New York State law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about.
There are actually three enumerated cover-ups. You've already done a little of the four reading for us, Tom. Three enumerated cover-ups.
Yes.
It ain't just Stormy Daniels. And it's not just the playmate, McDougal. There's also a doorman involved.
It's also the doorman got $30,000 not to talk about Trump's illegitimate child.
We don't know if it's Trump's illegitimate child, but why would he pay off the doorman to not talk about somebody else's?
Ah, come on. He's a great businessman. The same reason he pays Stormy Daniels $130,000 not to have sex with her.
Hey, let's keep it on Alvin Bragg
Day. Alvin Bragg Day.
It's Alvin Bragg Day. No matter who you are, Dom, Alvin Bragg might be coming for you. Cut three.
34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are.
No one's above the law. There are no kings here, Dom. Not even the king of New York. Today, the king of New York is Alvin Bragg.
It is Alvin Bragg Day. Same, Crudy. Have not heard him speak at length. And I was in the car listening to it. Felt like he held the room. He was in command of the facts.
Yes, I was very impressed. With him.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he was a man of business. He was not messing around.
I'll come back to a few of my notes after we hear from the Manhattan DA. The day history is made, the day the former president becomes defendant Donald Trump. In a New York courtroom, arraigned, pled not guilty from a seated position, strongly pled not guilty, my understanding, from reporters in the room. No live video.
Did he say, I am strongly not guilty, powerfully not guilty, or just did he say, not guilty?
That's
you know how he talks.
I do know how he talks.
Very strongly not guilty.
In retrospect, I was listening on Sirius XM to, like, MSNBC, and, you know, it's like he powerfully... stated not guilty. Well, was he standing? No, he was seated. But they didn't actually talk about, like, I powerfully state I am not guilty. I'm less clear on that. I didn't hear the audio recording. There was no audio recording we're aware of.
Not yet. Not the arraignment. Hopefully we'll have different maybe technical outcomes in an actual trial.
It is Alvin Bragg Day up in here. We're very excited. Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, brought 34 felony charges, arraigned the former president of the United States. Cut number four, play it for the people. Ebone.
These are felony crimes in New York State, no matter who you are. We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct.
Don't normalize it. More from Alvin Bragg. It was illegal. Cut five.
The participant scheme was illegal. The scheme violated New York election law, which makes it a crime to conspire to promote a candidacy by unlawful means. The $130,000 wire payment exceeded the federal campaign contribution cap. And the false statements in AMI's books violated New York law.
Well, that's a lot of illegal, isn't it?
When he puts it like that, it sounds really bad.
Alvin Bragg starting to stack it up on the defendant, Donald J. Trump, 34 felony charges, an arraignment today in a Manhattan courtroom. One more from Alvin Bragg, and then a few of my impressions as I watched it live. Cut number six, a lot of false statements.
The defendant repeatedly made false statements on New York business records. He also caused others to make false statements.
Now, he talked repeatedly that, you know, he's charging under New York law, and these are effectively white-collar crimes. He used that term a couple different times.
And that's what they do a lot of, and that's kind of their wheelhouse.
Well, and this 34 counts, this alleged lying to conceal other underlying crimes, he said is effectively the bread-and-butter mechanism of prosecuting criminal offenses of this sort in New York State. A few other things. He was very clear. Everyone's equal before the law. That this defendant lied again and again to cover up three different, what?
Catching payoffs, kill cases, yes.
Three different payoffs. And, of course, he lied again and again on his books about the true nature of what these expenses, let's call them, were. A little bit more. Alvin Bragg's continuously said, yeah, I've done this before. I'm 24 years on the job, and I bring no charges before they're ready. And I did more investigation than my predecessor, Cyrus Vance, had done.
More information came out, new witnesses.
We've had new witnesses. Yep. And I think the takeaway I took almost initially, and I lay some of this on Ari Melber, a pretty smart guy over on MSNBC, an attorney in his own right, the conspiracy, laying out the conspiracy, the multiple charges. This is not just about Stormy. This is about a pattern, a conspiracy.
A scheme.
An ongoing scheme. And it breaks both state election law and federal caps of contributions to a candidate. New evidence, new witnesses. New evidence, new witnesses. And Dom, 34 new charges. A lot of them. So anyways, it's Alvin Bragg Day.
And happy Alvin Bragg Day. Crudy, when we found out about this, I think we're still on Brady Street, man, back when this happened. We're talking about this, and we knew that he had, you know, paid Stormy Daniels, you know, through his corporation. We talked about this. Well, I mean,
yes.
You know, I know how QuickBooks works, man. You know what I mean?
There was public record information readily available that this directed, well, because we saw the evidence of the Michael Cohen trial. Man, the guy went to prison for going on 3 years for this.
So this is, I mean, not necessarily a whole lot of new news, right? Lots of assumptions. I mean, we kind of thought, well, if this is how you're facilitating it through your corporation, man, you're probably not claiming it properly, right? These are white collar crimes. And I don't want to even, it's not even just $130,000. What do you, he got like 400, Cohen got $420,000.
Well, they cooked the books additionally to fluff it up to hide the $130,000 aspect of the payoff to Stormy Daniels. The NDA paid $130,000, but to also get some tax savings?
I'm not facilitate, even sure. Well, I think they wanted to fluff it up for Cohen, so if he did claim it, he'd have enough to cover the taxes, so he'd net out a higher number. But
his
again,
tax liability.
Yeah. So, this is a lot of money. I mean, we talked about the state of Wisconsin a couple weeks ago. I think it was like $50,000, something like that. I mean, this is over twice an average salary in the state of Wisconsin that this man went through. I mean, these are
well,
certainly
a federal candidate only is eligible during the primary for $2,700 of contributions, $54,000 in aggregate in both the primary and the general. In the state of Wisconsin, the Supreme Court candidate,
$20,000.
$20,000 is the cap. $20,000 for governor, races of that sort.
Yeah.
The allegation here is $130,000 to Stormy, a catch and kill coordinated in conspiracy with David Pecker over at
AMI,
National Enquirer.
Yeah.
And then another $30,000 also through David Pecker, another catch and kill, the unfortunately named David Pecker.
To the doorman.
So that's 280,000 plus 30, 310,000. That far exceeds federal. And I suspect state limits in New York State as well.
Sounds really bad.
You know, we rarely do the reading. Usually we just bring on, you know, like Jim Santel. Say, Jim, what was contained? But Thomas, this is relatively speaking breaking news. This is now in the public sphere.
It's historic.
Well, not only is it historic, it's required reading. And we've got no one else to do the reading. So, Dom, I feel like we must read for our audience, you know, sort of the statement of facts, the talking indictment that Jim Santel's been promising us for so very long. It should be Jim Santel Day. It's Alvin Bragg Day, soon to be Maggie Dawn Day. It's Election Day. It's Devil's Advocates Day. Every day when you listen, stick around. We're going to have some fun.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 38 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies again tomorrow. Highs around 67. Lows around 45. Tomorrow night, overcast. Dry with temps well above average Monday and Tuesday. And highs from the upper 60s to the low 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, sticking around at least for one segment, maybe more. We'll see what happens. We can maybe take some of your calls as well. 844-967-2789. Maggie, if no one has said it to you yet, let me be the first to say happy Alvin Bragg Day.
I really appreciate that, Dom. You know, I might have been a little bit ticked off for most of the day, but there was always that like 5 o'clock somewhere, silver lining. And I had Alvin Bragg to thank for that. I just pulled up the image of Trump sitting at the defense counsel table. Boy, that's different, huh?
Yes. Not projecting too much strength from the defense table, huh?
Have we seen the mugshot yet?
No, and what I heard today is that they were unlikely to take one, which is a fascinating decision, though I would imagine it was probably part of the negotiation. Now, of course, it's important, I think, to understand the function of mugshots. It's to literally identify the defendant. There's no chance on God's green earth here that Donald Trump would somehow be unidentifiable, except if the guy spent some time in prison, didn't have access to like the self tanner, the self pancake, or the orange hair dye. I mean, what would Donald Trump, if we can just engage in a thought experiment here for a minute, if you guys don't mind.
Does
DJT look like after even like 6 months in jail?
Do you remember the show? I think it was The Orange is the New Black. He would look like the character Red. Like right at the end when she wasn't doing so well. That would be
that might
6 months
be disrespectful
behind,
to her.
With like, right. Why'd you be so rude, Crudy?
Right. And like, here's the thing. You have to subtract the suit that's tailored to cover up, you know, the basketball belly that we know he's got. Right. Absent pancake, absent fanfare. I mean, what I think is really interesting is to see Donald Trump flanked by all those people, right? Like Donald Trump, one thing he's always been a genius at is curating a look, right? An image of him. Think in your mind, even as president, how many times you saw images of him standing alone, right? Like that is by far the predominant image, whether it's on some stupid rally stage, feeding a crowd some more like chum nonsense. It's not even linguistically English. See, right? Whatever it is, right? But you see these images of him alone. So it's not, and he's always standing, right? And you know, he's never, I think there's like two photos of him that exist with glasses on, and he needs glasses to read. You never see these things, right? So to see this image of Trump seated at a defendant's table, minus the orange jumpsuit, which really would have been the cherry on my Alvin Bragg Sunday today, flanked by lawyers that now have to speak for him, and for him to walk past a phalanx of reporters and not say anything. These are very different images of the former president.
Yeah, but the former is giving a speech from Mar-a-Lago like an hour from now, Maggie Dawn. We might even have some coverage of that on civic media. Who can say? Who could say?
Oh, God, please don't put the clown on the air. You know, I would do that if I was in his shoes. Listen, I can't level criticism at politicians for being politicians, right? So
sure.
That to me, unsurprising. What I want to see is, does he heed the court's warning? And remember, now we've got precedent here from his buddy, you know, Richard Nixon devotee extraordinaire, Roger Stone, right? So Stone was admonished multiple times by a court not to engage in certain behavior that had to deal with social media and statements he was making to the public, and he refused to do so, and consequences resulted. Donald Trump was in court today, was told point blank, do not engage in conduct and language that would incite people to violence. Let's see what happens this evening, because if I'm Alvin Bragg and his team of prosecutors, I am listening to that with bated breath, waiting for him to drop any language that calls people to rise up and fight, anything that even comes remotely close to that. I have the brief already drafted and the motion to go with it to put in front of the court to say he shouldn't be able to walk around, or he should be subject to a very significant gag order barring him from social media or giving these sorts of ridiculous chum for the uneducated, you know, low information voter masses at Mar-a-Lago. Now, of course, there's a political downside to that, which is now he's being even more persecuted. But it's not like anybody's going to really change their mind if he's subject to a gag order. I'd just like to see it go down. I mean, do you guys really think he's going to be able to prevent himself from going there? I mean, the guy can't read a freaking teleprompter to save his life.
I don't think so, Maggie Dawn. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he stands up and says, hell, we got to fight like hell. We're not going to have a country anymore, but be peaceful. You know, I mean, he'll do that kind of the thing, and all the lemmings are, oh, let's fight like hell, but he told us to be peaceful. Maggie, the specific charges, 34 counts of essentially what? Cooking the books, I guess?
Conspiracy.
The scheme. It's a scheme, Maggie Dawn. What was your thought when you saw the 34 counts?
Well, I wanted to know what they were immediately, right? And then I found out it was like literally every bookkeeping entry. And you have to, folks, you have to keep in mind that like the one payment was not the thing, right? It was not the check that was cut from Cohen to Stormy, right? It was the money that was paid to Cohen by Trump, and all of the misleading accounting entries that were made and the misleading campaign finance reports that were filed. Now, this is the thing I loved best about the information today, which was apparently $130,000 to Stormy turns into $420,000,
right,
to Cohen. I was like, you want to know how women aren't, you know, it's not a dollar for dollar. There's no pay equity. Nonsense. It's like a quarter to every buck made by Cohen, and he's not the one that had to sleep with Trump. How does that happen?
He's the pimp.
Folks, we're listening to the Devil's Advocates Maggie radio show. The Devil's Advocates Maggie show. Maggie, stick around. I want to get to more of the Donald Trump indictment today. You can join us as well, 844-967-2789.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The last surviving prosecutor of the post-World War II Nuremberg trials has died. When he was 27 years old, he opened one of those trials.
The charges we have brought accuse the defendants of having committed crimes against humanity.
Ben Fedan spent much of the rest of his life battling such crimes. He was 103. Somewhat up in the air now, the legal distribution of a widely used abortion pill. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The abortion pill mifepristone has been used in the U.S. for decades. But on Friday, federal judge Matthew Kaczmarek, a Trump appointee in Amarillo, Texas, stayed the FDA's approval after challengers claimed the process was improper and a risk to patients.
Not only is the Justice Department appealing that, another federal judge in another case ruled exactly the opposite. Pope Francis led Holy Saturday Easter Vigil Mass at the Vatican a day after skipping an event at the Colosseum because of bad weather. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foote.
Milwaukee. You had to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
Don't you deserve a job you love? Civic Media is preserving hometown radio, broadcasting from main streets across Wisconsin, and we're hiring radio advertising sales professionals to join our rapidly growing network of local radio stations. If you have a connection to your community, prior sales experience, and want to earn an outstanding living where you and your hard work is appreciated, you should apply right now. Find more information on our website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Careers tab.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Everyone deserves freedom over their own body. Everyone deserves the right to choose. Everyone deserves access to quality, affordable health care without judgment. And everyone deserves a health care provider who stands firm on these beliefs. This is the Planned Parenthood experience at any one of our 22 health centers across Wisconsin that offer reproductive health care services for everyone. Book your appointment today at ppwi.org. That's ppwi.org, and get the care you deserve, because we will provide that care no matter what.
Todos merecen la libertad sobre su propio cuerpo. Todo el mundo merece el derecho a elegir. Todos merecen acceso a una atención médica económica y de calidad sin juicios. Y todos merecen un proveedor de atención médica que se mantenga firme en estas creencias. Esta es la experiencia de Planned Parenthood en cualquiera de nuestros 22 centros de salud en Wisconsin, que ofrecen servicios de salud reproductiva para todos. Haz una cita hoy en ppwi.org y obtenga la atención que se merece, porque nosotros le brindaremos esa atención, pase lo que pase.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I helped Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, an election Tuesday night, super duper extended coverage edition. We got the finest of guests. She is Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, our friend Maggie Dawn. Maggie, thanks for sticking around, especially on election night. We know you got good weather. We're looking at rain. Light drizzle, no storms, though. You can still vote. Get in line by 8, and they'll let you vote. But we've got, hopefully, record turnout here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm hoping we win the battle for the soul of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And perhaps as important or more important, depending on your point of view, the indictment and the arraignment of Donald Trump happened today. And it was 34 felonies. And Alvin Bragg, came out very composed, did a press conference, Maggie Dawn. And I got to tell you, I was impressed by the guy, more so than I have been in the lead up to why he hasn't dropped indictments in what I perceive was a timely fashion. So he said effectively, we've got new witnesses. We've got new evidence. The case has evolved. I've been doing this for 24 years, and we don't file charges till they're ready. And now this fruit has ripened. Maggie Dawn, I wish one of the more substantial charges would go first from history's perspective, be it Fulton County in Georgia, be it Jack Smith in the J6. But I got to tell you, the charges as they were leveled by this DA seemingly were a lot more important, had a lot more gravity than just simply the guy paid off a singular porn star. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think the way Alvin Bragg has handled when he finally was going to speak, right, that he did present a fairly impressive persona to the public. I think the facts laid out in the indictment paint a really compelling picture. You know, there's a couple of new facts, right, in that indictment that I think are really, really specific and new and very problematic for the president. And perhaps the one that I think is most revealing is that it's very clear that they have testimony and that the CEO of American Media Inc., a guy by whose last name is Pecker, you all
David
can just
Pecker.
Infer what I might be thinking here. So it's very clear that Pecker is willing to testify against Donald Trump, and that he basically came clean and shared with the prosecutors that Donald Trump himself thanked Pecker for helping to get him elected president. And that's really key here, because all of the elevation of this for mere bookkeeping fraud, right, which is what we're talking about, it's a sort of fraud, which is a misdemeanor, to the felony counts, is because it benefited Donald Trump in his presidential campaign. That's what bumps all of this up to a felony. And the fact that you've got Pecker saying, oh yeah, Donald Trump understood that. He understood that about Stormy Daniels. He understood that about the doorman in Trump Tower. And he understood that about Miss McDougal as well. And all of those payments facilitated by Roger Cohen and or American Media Inc. were all in furtherance of trying to get Donald Trump elected president. And any conservative talking head that wants to contradict that has to remember that when these payoffs occurred, it was right after the extra tape had exploded, where you've got Donald Trump on tape admitting to committing sexual assault, right? Like, America was transfixed by that. I think many women were really appalled. And so the next shoe to drop in his campaign, which was really close to the election at this point, we're in, I believe this was around the second week of October in 2016. The second shoe that was going to drop was the Stormy Daniels, Miss McDougal, and the doorman that was going to corroborate what these women were saying. That might have been the difference. You throw in a little Russian collusion, a little bearing of the story, a few felonies committed that he continues to commit in the Oval Office, and wham, bam, you've got Donald Trump, President 45, right? So I think that Bragg's presentation of the facts, his appearance today, are the counterpoint to saying this is simply some trumped up, pardon the pun, political attack under the guise of a criminal prosecution. And I would be remiss if I didn't remind folks yet again, Michael Cohen spent time in prison. For all you regular people out there, imagine if you went to prison for something that your boss asked you to do, and then you watched your boss basically say, because I'm really important, I don't have to go to prison too. That isn't the way it works here. And if it does, we got to start rewriting the rules. This is the first step in holding Donald Trump accountable for things that politicians for decades have been held accountable for, right? You don't lie when it comes to your campaign finance stuff. And if you do, it opens up a Pandora's box of legal horribles. You can't pay off porn stars and lie about it. If you pay, and here's the interesting thing, guys, right? If he would have paid her off and he just would have said it's completely legal to do these this frequently done thing with tabloids where they'll catch and kill the story on behalf of someone that they want to maintain a relationship with. The payoff for the story isn't illegal. If he would have just said after the election, hell yeah, I paid her off. I didn't want that to come out. Oops, sorry about the campaign finance paperwork error. Here you go. None of this would have happened. It's Donald Trump's own pathology that he can't admit anything that has led him to this doorstep of legal peril. If he just would have called it exactly what it was, because everybody knew it was true, it walked like a duck, it had web feet and feathers, and he couldn't just call it a duck.
You realize, Maggie Dawn, he's going to use the "but I'm afraid of my wife" defense. But we went.
It doesn't
through,
matter. Yeah.
Wait. This but is, we let me throw a little bit more out there. We went through the statement of facts from the district attorney. And it's interesting that he actually tried to stiff Stormy Daniels. And specifically, he told Michael Cohen, if you don't pay her until after the election, it won't matter. But she became insistent, probably through her counsel to Lawyer B, I believe, Michael Avenatti, probably became insistent. The guy had his own financial needs, right? Wanted to get paid, wanted his client to get paid. And so they forced Trump to pay. But it wasn't to hide it from Melania. It was to hide it from the voters. There goes your legal defense.
Oh, that is like the ripest fact in the bunch, right? Like, wait a minute. Do we believe that Donald Trump would try to stiff, again, you can infer whatever I may be talking about here. Do we believe Donald Trump would try to stiff the woman that slept with him when he's trying to pay her off for not telling her story? Yeah, he absolutely would. He is that guy. The fact that he did it and it's corroborated by testimony, I don't know if it's more than Michael Cohen. Let's hope that there's some sort of something else besides just Michael Cohen. Maybe like Alan Weisselberg? I don't know. Saying that he suggested that they delay as long as possible because the only reason any of this mattered was because of the election. Because to Donald Trump, being accused of sleeping with a Playboy centerfold instead of his wife credits him as a person. That's what he talks to people like the Dippy Bush brother on Extra about. You just grab him by the blank, right? This is Donald Trump. He doesn't pay that woman off. He pays her to tell the National Enquirer to put it on the front page, right? That's who Donald Trump is. Let's not forget who we're talking about. So yes, we all know he did it because of the election.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We all know that is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, friend of ours. Maggie, Alvin Bragg, I think, going after, as you said, ripe. I mean, these are the no-brainer charges. As soon as we were talking about this years ago when it became evident, first thing I thought about was, how are they booking it? You know what I mean? That was literally like on the air. We're talking, how are you booking it? Because I'm pretty sure they're not doing it right. And of course, they weren't. 34 falsifying business records in the first degree. But when Alvin Bragg gave his press conference today, he mentioned New York State election law. He mentioned federal election campaign limits. Well, those aren't things he's going after. What was your thought on his strategy here?
You mean in invoking both the state and federal laws that he broke in addition? One, I think Alvin Bragg's pointing out somewhat uncomfortably that there are other prosecutors who had a much more direct route to charging Trump. One can only speculate as to why, you know, the Federal Election Commission or the Federal Department of Justice after Donald Trump was sworn in seemed to be totally unconcerned with potentially investigating Donald Trump for crimes. And one can maybe ignore the fact that Donald Trump basically forced out the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, where many of these, I don't know, can I just say this? I don't know why we're all acting like this is some like unsolvable riddle, why he wasn't charged by the feds, because Donald Trump put lackeys in charge of these folks fired everybody who wasn't personally loyal and willing to put their hand on the Bible of Trump and say the great orange man is the God and savior. And this is whom I follow, no matter where that primrose path may lead me. That's why he wasn't charged federally. I think the state crime that is sort of also making the predicate for charging Trump with a felony is this really weirdly worded thing. I had to read it about six times before I understood exactly the thing that it was trying to make illegal. And basically, the New York law says you can't commit a crime to help or hinder someone from getting elected. That act in and of itself is a crime, a separate standalone crime. A little esoteric sounding. So I think the combination of the two reflects some of the storytelling reality that every prosecutor faces when they bring these sorts of charges that are admittedly bootstrapped. Again, you don't get to the felony charge without the, frankly, bookkeeping fraud being done to further effectively a cover-up or a different sort of crime. And indeed, we all understand that it was.
No, with regards
and yet
to
again,
the,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Maggie, but you referenced the SDNY, former Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance making the rounds this weekend. And I don't know how this isn't even bigger news. I guess it's one of those things we always assumed, but he was told to stand down by the SDNY for like a year and a half. I mean, that's why. Because Trump and his lackeys, as you mentioned, were putting the pressure on. That's why this did not go forward earlier. Is there any comeuppance or consequence to those actions, Maggie, in your opinion?
Here's what I would like to say to, you know, state attorneys general, Mr. Call, and local frontline prosecutors is, I think the federal prosecutorial system, when you have a knowing bad actor like Trump, right? I think Joe Biden has gone to great pains to say basically nothing about all of this, right? Do you think Trump would be doing the same had Hillary Clinton been charged with something?
Right.
Right? Like, come on, let's... Anyways, I think because of the appointment system, when you look at U.S. attorneys... the U.S. attorneys for the various federal districts, this is subject to some fairly onerous political control if the commander-in-chief is willing to effectively flex that muscle. And there's no question that Donald Trump was. There's simply not a reasonable argument to the contrary to be had. The list of prosecutorial firings and pressure is exhaustive and in a public forum. And you need only look to Attorney General Barr's, frankly, complete and utter total whitewash of the Mueller report that came out before anybody could read the Mueller report to know that the Trump DOJ was a political DOJ. In other words, we're now hearing the gaslighting version of Republicans accusing Democrats of doing what they do out in the open in broad daylight every day. So I applaud Bragg for trying to make those underlying predicate crimes very plain today.
You know, we're soon going to turn to our civic media coverage, election night coverage, Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and a special race, 8th Senate District, great state of Wisconsin. You're going to want to stick around for that. And Maggie Dawn, you know, it wouldn't be a strong finish without you getting us to the finish line. Can you stick around for one more?
For you, Mike, anything.
Excellent. More Maggie Dawn, more Devil's Advocates. You on the phones, perhaps. 844-96-PARTY.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Weather brought to you by Next Tech Glass, your hometown experts for auto, residential, and commercial glass repair and replacement. Please visit nexttechglass.com. That's nexttechglass.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 38. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies tomorrow, high of 67. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 45. Temps well above average Monday and Tuesday with highs from the upper 60s to the low 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 57 degrees.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
And we're back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Last segment of the day with this extended super duper extra happy hour, 844-967-2789.
Civic Media election night coverage beginning very, very soon. Kristen Bry, Jane Matneer are going to get us launched. Todd Alba and Terry Bell are going to anchor all evening long, a cavalcade of stars all around the state. Please tune in. It will be award-winning, even if I have to do like Trump and make up an award. And we have award-winning, a real award, a
literally
WBA award-winning guest right here. She got the Crystal Trophy, and we got the second place plaque that year. Maggie Dodd, I'm barely bitter, though.
You, I swear, it's pretty much like a 50% hit ratio that you mention it when I come on to hang out with you guys.
It's a compliment, man.
I only think of it every other day now. It's
thanks,
like the
Mike.
Loss of my mom and that trophy. They alternated my conscience each day. Maggie Dawn, let's talk about the specter of political violence that the indictment and now the arraignment of Donald Trump, let's call him Defendant Trump. Well, he's been inciting, but nothing came to fruition. Where was the mob? The mob was effectively an anti-Trump mob. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who went out there today and started comparing her buddy Trump to Jesus Christ, and that's what I thought, Jesus Christ. But she got shouted down within moments. She barely got 30 seconds, and then she jumped in an SUV and got the hell out of there. This was not a Trump-supportive crowd in Manhattan. You know, this was not the violent masses. But do you think there is the specter of violence? You know, it doesn't have to be in New York.
It's a really interesting question, right? Because I do think the cultural fabric has changed from January 5th, right, 2021. Like, it's different now. And I think despite Trump's congressional apologists, including the Speaker of the House, and sort of this, they've forgotten most recent history, folks that are elected, including a few of the folks that exist in Wisconsin's delegation, I think there is a change amongst, again, that weird swing set of voters and your traditional conservative folks. And you put that together and it's not the same crowd he might have been speaking to then. And I mean that in its metaphoric and not literal sense. I think the only people who are stupid enough to stand in line for 4 hours to try to see the great orange man talk, you know, those folks haven't changed, and this isn't going to waver their viewpoint or their worldview. But I do think that some of the people that may have been more likely to believe that in sort of this conspiratorial sense of the world and Democrats' primacy in that, that there is a little bit more to reckon with now. And I think that there's just less stickiness for Donald Trump's, you know, I am Jesus and this is all a terrible political persecution of me. I just think there are fewer people willing to believe that. Now, as MTG will tell you every time any reporter asks her, her entire congressional district, like 100% of the human beings, not just voters there, all believe that Donald Trump is like the next, you know, the best thing next to sliced bread. She constantly invokes her particular constituency, which speaks to some of the problems that we're seeing in the House of Representatives, which of course is an outgrowth from the gerrymandering that we've seen, which brings us back to the Supreme Court race today and how important that is.
She is Maggie Dawn, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. Maggie, we're going to take some calls in just a moment. One headline, very intriguing, our friends over at WIS Politics. Scott McDonald, who is the clerk, the election. Dane County clerk. Says voter turnout in Dane County could hit 60% today. I think it'd be a party up in here if we get 60% turnout in my hometown, in Madison. We'll be at the Pro to Say What's Party later. 844-967-2789. Let's get to some fair listeners like Rico from Rock County. Rico, say hi to our friend Maggie Dawn.
Sup, Rico?
Hey, hi, all you guys. You got a great show going on tonight. Hey, you know, I'm just sitting here listening. You guys got it muted on the old TV. But, you know, I'm looking at Donnie, you know, sitting behind a dependent's desk, and I'm thinking, you know, I think the most underlying thing here for old Donnie is that persistent boil on his ass named Melania right now. That guy ain't got any. And he certainly ain't getting any. You better retreat to that separate bedroom of his and think about that.
Yeah, I did not see. Thanks for the call, Rico. I did not see the spousal support for the former president, defendant Trump today, Maggie.
If I was being arraigned today, my wife wouldn't be in court with me either. I got to tell you.
I'm going to leave that one alone, but I do think that Dom, it's a worthy of mention factoid from today, right? Like criminal defense 101, show the supportive spouse, the supportive kids, the supportive family, you humanize your defendant client. And certainly defendant Trump did not look human yet again today.
Well, the kids couldn't join him. They're afraid there's outstanding warrants
in New York.
Right? I'm sorry. We're running your fingerprints, sir. We need. This is not the warrants that are out for Eric or Don Jr., right? We're just talking about Don Sr. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. By the way, I just want everybody to capture that image in their head. So now, listen, I may have been fingerprinted once or twice. You cannot get the digital fingerprinting done when the person that's working in effectively the intake room, when you're booked or when you're arrested, if you try to sort of manhandle the fingerprint machine scanner thing, it doesn't work. Like you literally have to let the person do it for you. Can you imagine Mr. Little Hands getting how long that might have taken before he like totally just let this person do it? And please, if there is a God, please tell me that the person that took Donald Trump's fingerprints and had to like manhandle his little tiny hands was a woman, because that image is going to bring me home today for sure.
Better yet, a black woman.
Exactly.
967-2789, only because it would bother him the most. One last caller for the evening before special election night coverage. It's you, Joanne, from Madison. Say hi to Maggie Dawn.
Hey, Maggie, I got a quick question about George Soros. I was listening to the very end of Tucker Carlson's show, Don't Ask Me Why, and George Soros was mentioned in relation to our favorite candidate, Judge Janet. And I'm wondering, what's the connection here? And are we going to be hearing about George Soros for the next years in relation to Judge Janet from the right side of the dial? Thanks so much.
Joanne, George Soros gave money to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which was presumably given to Judge Janet Protasiewicz for her efforts, her campaign. So the connection is really sort of third party. not quite as conspiratorial as when Trump does it. Maggie Dawn, any final thoughts?
Yeah, George Soros, Schmoros, the Elines do the same thing. So do the Koch brothers. I don't know what everybody's all got their undies in a twist about. Thanks, guys. Go Janet.
Thanks, Maggie Dawn. Go Janet.
George Soros, send the checks here. Make about the cash. Or the Devil's Advocates. We'll find a way to cash them. Stick around. Extended election night coverage begins with Kristen Bryan, Jane Mantenier, then Todd Allbutt, Terry Bell, and a cavalcade of stars all around the Civic Media Network.
Ready for a journey to Flavortown? Head over to Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill. They've been serving up the best food in Wrigleyville for 8 years and counting. From their famous smoked chicken wings to their tempura battered cheese curds, every bite is a trip to flavor heaven. And with hospitality that's second to none, you'll feel right at home. So why wait until after the game? Rev up your taste buds and join them at Roadhouse 66 Gas and Grill at 3478 North Clark Street in Chicago. Check out their menu on Facebook.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.